I'll leave it at that. But yeah, you do have to look through it manually, and it's the thing is, in a way, you're going to get it no matter what if you're, because now they try and send email to, you know, A.Jones@hotmail.com, B.Jones@hotmail.com. They just go through the dictionary and combine words together and send it out. So even if you don't have a website, you're going to get some. Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, I'm getting the Nigerian something.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I'm okay, so rich.
So you're next. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Dana.
Sorry, Dana.
Let's go back to the job postings. And I've seen this only once, but I've only been a member since the summer. An organization looking for maybe one or more editors, and they want you to put in a bid. I have no idea how to do that. I don't know if someone can explain it, and also maybe some tips about putting in a bid for an editing job.
Are you thinking about Forex? Is that the one? Is that the one that's coming to mind for you?
I don't remember the name.
I don't think so, because that was a while ago.
Because I think you're talking about the Merck stuff in the federal government, and there's actually a thing every Tuesday afternoon downtown where they explain how the Merck system works.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you go to Canada,
they can't hear at the back.
If you go to the Canada Contracts website, you can get. They have a meeting every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 3:30 about the Merck system and how to get involved as a Merck supplier.
Exactly what they're looking for.
Well, it'll tell you what the system is about, so it's not just about you putting it in, but also someone's writing a business proposal. Someone's writing a business proposal and they need help editing it, and you know about the Merck system. Not only can you bid on things, but you can help other people bid on things.
Is there a fee?
Canada Contract. Just Google Canada Contract. Government of Canada Contract.
Is there a fee to...
No, it's free.
Oh, good.
And it's every Tuesday afternoon.
But to put in a proposal, is there a fee? You don't know yet? Okay.
Okay.
Somebody else. Well,
there was recently a job posting listed by CAC.
You know what, Kathleen? You should probably aim that way.
There was recently job posting, and I looked it up, and it was, you know, National Research Council looking for editors. This is on the Merck site. And if you're not a member, you have to pay X amount of dollars just to look at the job description.
A member of what?
Merck.
Oh, okay.
How much was it? That's what I couldn't
get. It was $29 for, like, to get a few items in your basket. And I emailed and said, what's a basket?
Sounds pretty obscure.
it was, but it was basically $30 to, $39.95 as a one-off subscriber. And you could put a couple of different job descriptions in your cart for that money, if there were any. There weren't too many for editors or writers. Mm. And then you would get access to what the bid was and what the conditions were, etc. And if you wanted to see amendments to that bid after that, you had to pay an additional $5. Mm. So it worked out that if I wanted to find out if this job was suitable for me to apply for, it was going to cost me $45.
Is it a bunch of garbage.
Government that are looking for bids?
Yeah.
Is that
the one
that
you should have? It was government, but also non-government. Yeah. But it looked like most of them were.
I think, to interject here, that Colin Morehouse knows a lot about this. And when he speaks in a month, because I did one of his workshops, it seems to me he knows a lot about how to work with.
Thank you for that plug, Angela. It's good.
If you wanted all that work, come see Colin.
Okay. And so Peter was next?
I was just going to talk a little bit more about Merck's. You can look at the summary of the actual, just by going to Merck's.ca. And actually, the summary usually tells you enough to know whether or not you might be interested in it. There really, for individual editors, there really isn't all that much, other than occasionally the opportunity to get on standing offer with government departments in Ottawa or federal departments, and occasionally provincial departments, but not very often. And if you get a standing offer, that means you can work quite easily with that department, but you've still got to find the work in the department. You've still got to phone people and so on. It is about, I think, $30 to pull the full request for proposal off. But you can join, and it's about, I think, I think I paid $130 to be a member for 6 months or something like that. It's about $250. So it's a real question as per year as to whether or not it's worth it for you to pull those RFPs out. Some of them are very complicated and very demanding to reply to. You can easily spend a week writing a proposal in response to Merck's RFP. You really have to be in the business and decide you are going to target that the government as a client before it's worth really doing.
And then you have to have WordPerfect or something, don't you?
How do you spell Merck.ca?
It's merx.ca.
Okay, thank you.
You're up.
I actually worked with the Merck site about 3 years ago. The money to be made in this is writing proposals for other businesses. Because if you go to the Merck site, you'll see anytime there's just hundreds and hundreds of requests for lumber hauling something from back east to this coast, and military wants a roof on their bivouacs, whatever they're called, and just any kind of work there. And these are things that somebody has to write a proposal, and that, I'll charge this much to do it. And there are companies, there's one in Sydney that actually does write proposals, and there's others. So what I was trying to do at that time was working with somebody who knows how to write proposals, and I was getting the business. So that is to say, I would call the, in my case it was security devices. Somebody in the government wanted a huge bunch of security devices, so I contacted local businesses who had security devices and said, how would you like to make more money? And oh yeah, so then the person who wrote the proposal, and that's what editors and writers would be doing, would write the proposal for that company. In other words, make the bid. But what I found out was that there's an art to this, because you can also go and look and see who wins these proposals. Mm. And you'll see the same companies coming over and over and over again. Is that just luck? No. So if I wanted to become a proposal writer who is successful, I would try to get hired by one of those companies that comes up over and over and over again, because they know how to write those proposals and win. There's also some schmuckery going on, because ICBC was looking for something out there, and I happen to be a practitioner in the medical system, and I know ICBC is never to be trusted. They were offering, we need something, I don't even remember what now. So, yeah, they wanted some printing done. So they're government, they're supposed to advertise on the Merck site. But they were advertising outside the Merck site, too, to people who weren't, so they would get past the bidding process to people they really wanted. They're not supposed to do that, it's actually illegal. So when you're the government, you're supposed to stick to the Merck site. Mm-hmm. But the money's to be made in writing these proposals or working in a company that actually succeeds.
Thanks, David. And now, yes.
Oh, well, two things. There is another site where you find information, and that's BC Bid.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of BC Bid, probably.ca, but I don't know. So a lot of provincial government and local government.
That's BC Bid, Penny.
I was going to say about proposal writing. When I do this as an environmental consultant, I write proposals. And so I've got used to that. I keep trying to make them thinner, but they keep adding more corporate oomph at the end. But I did respond to that Forex thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, maybe today or tomorrow I'll come home and find out whether I got it. But it might help if there's a need within this group. I mean, I've just joined, but maybe that idea of making a small working group, people want to learn how to write proposals, can some people get together?
That'd be a good workshop.
Mm, that's a really good workshop.
Yeah.
One of the professional development workshops that would be very
good. Yeah. You look at what they're doing and you say, what's the scope of work? That was very well laid out as an example. Here are the things you have to be able to do. And then 25 people set off proposals to them, I suppose.
Thanks. Peter?
Just to follow up on this gentleman, here's a point about the work. If you if you pay the money to download the proposal, or if you are a member of Merck, so you pay the $250, you can see all of the companies that have taken the have downloaded the RFP, the request for proposal, and they may be looking for a writer or an editor. And so that's a real way of targeting, or even finding out who might be hiring. The proposal usually, nobody in the government is going to put an RFP out for editing. But they will put out an RFP for a large campaign, or for a book, or a manual, or reports, or something of that sort. And so those companies that are bidding on it will be gathering forces, and often they don't have on-site editors or writers, and so that's a way of finding out who is looking for editing and writing services. So it's very much worth looking at those lists. Sorry, I had another point that has escaped me.
I'll put your name for you on the list. Peter is co-owner of a big writing and design company called Gordon Group in Ottawa.
Former.
Yeah, it's all my.
And are you living here now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Welcome.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all the better to have you on the board.
Yeah, Peter.
Who's next on that?
I don't have a name down.
Catherine.
Oh, okay.
This is going back to. When you are trying to contact someone for some work, whether it's work that's been listed or you're just trying to approach somebody to see their unsolicited work. I have kind of two questions in regards to that. Number one is, how much is too much to put in that email?
Right.
And my idea would be to just put a quick little bio and an explanation of what I can do or whatever. For the company, or why I'm approaching them, and then say that I will attach files and resumes and stuff upon request.
Right.
The other question that's kind of part of that is, how persistent should one be if you have some communication with someone, and they're kind of showing, they're sort of semi-interested, but you want to keep your name in the forefront of their mind, but you don't want to be a nuisance.
Right. Well, as I say, I respond to all of them, and I'll say, you know, I'll keep you on file. And if they respond and say thank you very much, or yes, that'll be good, or no, thank you, then I know what to do. But I am expecting a response to that, not just an assumption. And when they do, I will put them on file. Now, if I've got them on file, then I think that if you can see that there's some other articles you could have written. One of the things that some people will do is write and ask me for my calendar. You know, when do you have, what do you have coming up? And all magazines have some kind of calendar. You've got to have something to work with. And you can give them some information. Okay, these are our themes for the, I'll let them know what my themes are for the next 12 months. And then they can see if they've got something that they can write on. It's difficult. You do not want to be annoying, because if you're annoying, then I'm not going to use you. But, you know, a polite email saying, I just wonder if you remember I had, you know, sometimes people will say, I wrote to you last month about such and such a thing, I wonder if you've made a decision yet, or are you still looking for a writer in this area? That sort of begs a response. Now, they don't always get it right away, and trust me, you don't assume that because somebody hasn't responded that they haven't read it. You do have to give people a little bit of time. I think I've done a really good job last week. I just spent 2 days at home clearing my email box so that I caught up. And I have 235 emails in there again.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've opened, I've looked at, and I've thought, bother, I can't delete it. I have to do something with it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's going to take me a long time to get to it. And if it happens that your name begins with V or something like that, when I hit it, you know, into alphabetical, I try and work through the sometimes I start at the bottom, but often I start at the top and try and work my way through. So do expect that there will be delays. But, you know, the thing is, if I click it into alphabetical and there's four emails from somebody and they've come over the course of a couple of months, I think, wow, they're really looking, they're really interested, so I might well respond. But if you're writing to somebody, you've got to be specific. And don't tell me that you've got an inside track and you can get some information that nobody else can get if you're getting it surreptitiously or illegally or something like that. I don't want to know. I immediately think, if you tell me that you can sneak into a conference and you can get information that somebody else can't get, I'm thinking to myself, I don't even want to touch you with a barge pole. Like, one of the things we're always concerned about, you'll notice, oh, what's this one? We've done a pink ribbon exposé. When this woman presented this article and said, the pink ribbon campaign is sponsored by drug companies that make the pesticides that cause breast cancer, I sent it back and said, burning my fingers. You know, I wouldn't dream of touching something like that. It would have to be absolutely, absolutely accurate. And she said, how about I cite every word? I said, you got it. And nothing, every single thing in there is right and cited and run past the lawyers. It's really important. It has to be genuine, you know. Don't pretend, you know. And please, please, don't plagiarize. Sounds obvious to a bunch of editors and writers. It's not obvious. It's not obvious. We actually had a really interesting thing with that pink ribbon campaign. One of our editors discovered that a whole pile of it was plagiarized from another website. So, I mean, at that point, we were going to drop it again until we discovered that somebody had actually plagiarized this writer's writing on another website. So, you know, the thing is, what is your interest? Are you interested in editing? Are you interested in writing? Or are you interested in both? Lots of people do both, right? They might have a particular strength in one. Don't necessarily cut yourself out of the other one either.
I might like to raise a point. It's occurring to me that Terry Lynn's got a lot of good stuff here, but I've noticed that a lot of the stuff on the hotline is from people very unlike Terry Lynn. Terry Lynn's a professional who runs a magazine, knows what's going on. A lot of the hotline stuff is people who, the Paul McCartney song,
I want to be a paperback writer.
You know, it's 1,000 pages, give or take or two. I'll be writing more in a week or two, something like that.
Yeah, that's very true.
So you get a lot of, you know, I've written my huge novel, and of course it's fantastic, and publishers will be bidding over it, and I just want you to, you know, give it a once over.
Yeah.
When it turns out to be, you know, 500 pages of drivel. Yeah. So in those cases, you've got to be careful. Because you need to look at the hotline posting and say to yourself, what am I getting myself into? Because it could be really good work. You could be really helping somebody. Or it could turn into a minefield. It could be a morass that you get into and suddenly you're hand-holding through, you know, or you're having to break it to them that, sorry, this is never going to get published. Be prepared for that, and in that, be prepared to charge what it's really going to cost. Get a sense, if you're looking at, you know, hundreds of pages of manuscript that people want you to go, you know, give a once-over, which probably means substantively editing the whole thing, that's going to be a lot of money. And if you say to them, it's going to be X thousand dollars, and they go, hang on, I've only got $200 to spend, then you can say, well, thank you very much. Yep. Or, you know, here's somebody else you might want to talk to, or whatever. You know, there's some work that, you know, you might be desperate for money, but if you're getting yourself into a four-month project where you're working a whole bunch of days a week and you're going to get $300 out of it, that's losing money for yourself because you could be doing something more worthwhile. So.
What I'm finding with the hotline is you get these people who are asking for work, and then you send something expressing interest, and they say, oh, I've already found someone. Mm. So I'm wondering,
like, how did that happen?
What do they base it on? Like, are people, I don't know, because the response is so quick. It's like you're requesting a sample of what they're wishing to have edited.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, well, you know, somebody's already doing the job. So I'm just wondering.
I think sometimes the hotlines, my experience was, I had that a couple of times, and when I queried further, I found that they had probably realized after they set the hotline, somebody, they knew a friend of a friend who did it or something like that. But I have to tell you, when I put a thing on the hotline, I have stuff in, I mean, I've hardly pressed the send button to Ricky, and I'm getting responses, and I'm thinking, how did that happen? Literally, it's ever so fast. I never need to ask myself, I wonder if Ricky put that, or whoever's in the hotline, I wonder if they put it up. Oh, I know, right? And so you, it is very fast. Now, sometimes I've got time to wait, and so I'll wait till they all come in before I look at them. But sometimes, if I look at one and it looks good, I'm gone with them. I haven't. It's not such. I'm not asking them to be my life partner. I'm asking them to write 400 words on fungus feet or something, right? So just write it. That's all I need right now. If you do a really good job, I'll move on. But that's all you're looking for. So sometimes you're right. Somebody's asking for something, and you
see that from a writing standpoint. But from an editing, like I always request a sample.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my mistake. Maybe I should just be saying, hey, I'll do it.
Maybe.
No, I don't think you can do that. I think you do have to request a sample. But I think you're right. I think sometimes they've maybe already got somebody and then they realize, you know, and people have no idea when they, you're right, when they do. We have a book publishing arm of our company. And, you know, I get people phoning up and saying, finish my manuscript, when would you like it? And I'm not kidding you, I'm deadly serious. They have, and I say, have you had it edited? That's always my first question, and they'll say, oh, doesn't need editing. So, and often I'll send them to, why don't you go onto the website and look up the EAC and just have a chat to them, you know, and find out a little bit more about getting this edited. I will send them on. But then at the same time, I'm only doing it with half a heart because I'm thinking they're going to say, oh, it needs the I's dotting and the T's crossing. Well, if their I's and T's were in the right place, that's probably what you'd have to do. But they're not, right? Mm. So I agree with you. And I think it's really important, this business about money. People are scared away so quickly. They think that you're going to do it in 5 minutes, or you're going to do it in a few hours, or that it's not going to cost them. They haven't added up, you know. Oh, $30 an hour is not so bad. Oh, 3 hours is $90. I've only got $120 bargain. You know, I mean, this is the sort of thing that happens, and they don't realize just how much it's going to cost, and they have no intention of paying that kind of money. They want to buy. Because they don't know. Like, it's going into a store to buy. I remember going, taking my kids into stores to buy jeans, which, I mean, I had $15 in my pocket or something. I didn't buy a pocket. You know, I had no idea. Absolutely no idea. So you can imagine when they come to editing, they've never had anything edited. Very often I find a lot of things, you know, so-and-so has just completed 135,000 page book, and I think, oh, at least I'm not going to edit it. You know? But that, and they have no idea. Everybody is passionately attached to their writing. Of course, they write beautifully.
And they've spent 10 years on it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, really, 10 valuable years.
They think, I've worked with writers who won't change a single word.
Yeah.
You know, I'm billing them for my time, and we're getting, you know, every time I made a suggestion, they'd shoot up like a rocketing pheasant, you know, and say, no, that, you know.
The other thing that's worth keeping in mind is that if people have come back saying, oh, I found somebody, it might be worth coming back in a month, just emailing them back saying, how's it going? Mm. You know, did it work out for you? Because sometimes it doesn't. You know, they found somebody who was a friend of a friend, or, you know, their nephew or whatever, and it didn't work out, or they, you know, they went off backpacking and didn't get stuff done, and maybe something will happen. You know, the other thing is you may be getting yourself into a minefield again, but it might be worth following up if it's something that looks like you'd really want to do it. So that's a possibility. It just came to mind. But often that, you know, that does happen, or it turns out that the editor and the writer aren't a good fit. They're not the right kinds of people for each other. That does happen.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up in a few minutes.
Okay.
I just want to know, I'm relatively new to the association, and I want to know how the hotline works. Like, is it the person who wants an editor fills in the form on the website, and then the coordinator transmits to, is that how it works? Transmits to all the people?
Normally the hotline coordinator will get in touch with the person who sent the posting. The postings are sent directly to the hotline people, the hotline coordinators. They don't go through Ottawa or anything. It just
So they fill out the form and it goes directly to Ricky or
Lynn right now. And then normally I would get in touch with them and ask them a few questions and also make sure they know how much it costs to get something edited. And then...
they don't believe
you. Yeah. They think, oh, my wonderful book will be... Like
yeah.
That. And then I usually compose a message that has the information. Occasionally we will simply forward one due to lack of time or because it's from Nigeria, you know, or, you know, something like that. But mainly we get in touch with them.
Okay. If they fill out the form very
then,
thoroughly.
And then we send it out to our 225 plus members.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a baby here.
And then David.
I just wanted to ask Derek about the comment you made. You felt it was extremely important to have a personal website that you could email to.
I do, and others may disagree.
I'm very unfamiliar with personal websites. Yeah. I've never looked at anybody's, and I'm just wondering why that's more appealing, or do you think it's more appealing than sending someone a resume?
Well,
or are you saying you have to go?
The website could just essentially be your resume too. The reason that's true and becoming more true over time is what I explained before. People are going to look, at least a lot of people are. Maybe not everyone. Maybe not the people who have finished their 2,000 page book and they want to get it. But anybody, especially if they're at all younger, if they're younger than me, younger than 35, they're probably going to go to Google and say, who is this person?
Yeah.
And if you don't have something that you've put up there, it's going to be something else, and you may not even know what it is. The thing is that it's very convenient for people to be able to go on the web and see what it says about whoever this is. So it's great if you can send your resume along. That may be sufficient. But it would be good to have something else out there. I think over time it becomes more important. I think if you've got a good resume and a good skill set and you've written a good email, it may not be necessary. But I think it's a good thing to have there. But that's me, you know, I do websites for a living. So.
How many freelancers here do have websites?
What's your website?
Oh. Mine?
About half.
Penmachine.com is mine.
Penmachine.
I'll write it up.
Just Google writer. Vancouver.
Is that right?
Writer, editor, Canada.
Wow. Wow. So, David had a question next?
Yeah, we got
to... Then we got to wrap it up, yeah.
I think this is the last question, sorry, folks, but we'll be around.
Now, this is a perennial question or query. When I use this hotline, I'm asked to quote my fees, as everyone else is, because it's the standard sort of thing at the bottom of this. And I always give my writer my fees, even if they're the midline of the EAC recommended fees. And I'm almost always hearing back, if I ever get in contact with the writer, that they ever call me. There's been 25 editors. I'm totally confused. I'm seeing ranges of prices from 8 cents a word to $40 an hour. And I don't trust any of you people, goodbye. Like, there's a feeding frenzy out here. And it's undercutting our standard rates. And you know, what are we doing about this? We're killing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any suggestions? I don't know.
Yeah, really.
I think it's just a matter of keeping on. If people behave like that, I mean, I haven't had that experience. I've phoned quite a few people, and I found from my perspective that they have sometimes said, this is just way more expensive than I thought. I just couldn't possibly pay that. Or, you know, and sometimes they'll say there's a wide range, and I always say, absolutely. Somebody who charges you $20 an hour or $15 an hour is probably going to take twice as long as somebody who charges you $30 an hour.
Because they
know what they're doing. They're just much faster. So in a way, I mean, you've got to charge a little more if you're good, because otherwise, if you're paying by the hour, you're not getting the same amount of money, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, but to answer David's query, I mean, it's, you know, if people are saying, this is just, I just don't get this, you know, again, you've got to sell yourself. If you're asking them and they're answering you, you've got something going, and you can say, well, here's what I charge and here's why I charge it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's work I've done before and this is how much it ended up costing them, and this is what we did, and that's what, you know, this is why I charge this much and this is what I do for that money.
Yeah.
Then you're in a, you know, you may not convince them. They may still say, well, forget it, I can't afford that, or I'm just not interested. And then you could say, well, you know, maybe your nephews. You try somebody you know, and maybe they'll do it for free. But it's, you know, I found over time, especially as you gather more work, people, if you can find the kinds of clients, and this is again sort of Ricky's thing, is don't use the hotline almost. The hotline is the low-hanging fruit. These are people who said, I need help. Please, please come help me, right? And so everybody's piling on, right? It's a feeding frenzy. It's much easier to get work if you go out and look for it. Mm-hmm. If you go find, you know, if you look at a hotline posting and go, oh, well, there's got to be other people who are trying to do this kind mm-hmm. of thing, or I've got expertise in a certain area, let's just look through the phone book or look on the web and find some companies, or like David was saying earlier, I should write some proposals for these people who are on the Merck site. You know, that's an intelligent sort of going behind the scenes saying, these are the kinds of people who are going to need my services. Mm-hmm. If you're looking actively for it, then there's a much smaller pool of people who are also doing that. Mm-hmm. If you're coming up to somebody, you know, like you said, some equipment maker or safety equipment maker, and saying, well, would you like to bid on a government contract and I can help you write the proposal?
Mm.
And nobody else has asked them that, suddenly you're in a pool of one yeah. instead of a pool of 25. Mm-hmm. And you've already told them how it's going to work. So if you, again, you know, Terry Lynn was saying be a generalist, that's worth being able to do.
Yeah.
But if you have stuff that you know, and if you've worked in fields, like, you know, if you're dealing with environmental firms or anything in particular, if you've worked in a field before, and you can say, well, I know about this, and I know how your company can write stuff up to help this done, or I can help you do something, they're in a position to say, well, if you know what you're talking about, then here's a better position. So the hotline can, in addition to being a source of potential work, can be a source of ideas of the kinds of work that might be out there. So I think that might be a good way to end it up.
So will we stay here for a few minutes?
I think we'll stay. Well, it's Carla's call, not mine.
Carla,
you can wrap it up.
Yeah.
You like
I think that's it. But thank you so much to Derek, Ricky, and Terry Lynn, and thank you to everybody for coming.